The New Dominion, everything Virginia. Politics, economy, society, pop culture, sports, and more. And it's on the air. From our studios in the Shenandoah Valley, it's the New Dominion Show.
Welcome to the New Dominion Show. I'm Chris Graham. A couple of weeks before Christmas here, as we continue our trek through the world of Virginia politics and national politics, so still a lot to keep us hot and heavy into the politics scene. Joining us this week will be Bob McDonald, the Virginia Attorney General, talking about a tax that was implemented in 2003 in Virginia to provide some money for the Jamestown 2007 celebration. Talking to the General Assembly that there might be interest in keeping that tax alive, even though, of course, Jamestown 2007 is now done with. We'll talk with Bob McDonald about that. Also joining us will be Keenan Caldwell from the American Cancer Society, talking about legislation in Congress that could have impact on Virginia's health care costs. Also joining us, Stephen Farnsworth from the University of Mary Washington, and also Sean O'Brien from the University of Virginia Sorenson Institute for Political Leadership. They're going to talk about the talk out there that Tim Kaine and possibly Jim Webb are being looked at on the long list at this point of possible Democratic Party vice presidential nominees, and we'll get their input on that. Also joining us will be a New Dominion correspondent, Lee Chapman, who was at the Oprah Winfrey Barack Obama event in South Carolina over the weekend, and he'll give us his insight into that as well. Keep it right here on the New Dominion Show, and we'll be talking some politics. Next, coming up, Bob McDonald, the Virginia Attorney General.
The New Dominion Magazine, available in print in the Valley and Central Virginia. Find out more at thenewdominion.com. It's back, and it's like you've never seen it before. The January 2008 edition of the New Dominion Magazine marks the debut of our new glossy full-color look. With a cover story breaking down the obscenity case in Stanton, a look inside economic trends in Waynesboro, interviews with TV and radio mainstays, a look at rural Virginia politics, and a few minutes in an MMA cage. And it's free. The New Dominion Magazine is available at locations throughout the Valley in Central Virginia. To find out more, go to thenewdominion.com. Thenewdominion.com.
You don't have to go all the way to Greenfront. Fine furnishings are now available in Fishersville. Stop by our store and get a free gift when you make your first purchase of $30 or more. As a bonus, you'll be registered to win $500 in free furnishings just for registering to receive our HomeSense newsletter. Home Innovations is located on Route 250 in Fishersville, across from the Augusta County Library. Home Innovations, turning the house you have into the home you've always dreamed of.
Everything Virginia, the New Dominion, www.thenewdominion.com.
Joining us now on the New Dominion Show is Bob McDonald, the Attorney General of Virginia, and we're going to talk about a tax issue, actually, dating back to 2003, the General Assembly approving money for the Jamestown celebration, a $1 addition to the vehicle registration fee, and it appears now that there's interest in trying to keep that going. And Bob, you came out clearly this morning saying that you definitely don't want to see this tax continuing.
Well, that's right, Chris, and it's really a matter of the government keeping its word to the citizens of Virginia. The fee was enacted in 2003 for the express purpose of helping to fund the activities in support of the commemoration of Jamestown 2007, the 400th anniversary of Virginia and America. A terrific idea. It was a great success. We have people from all over the country and all over the world, including the Queen of England, the President, and all that came to Jamestown to commemorate it. We got a lot of economic development revenue out of the money, but it raised $4 million, which was necessary to support these activities. But the point is, the fee is needs to expire because Jamestown 2007 activities are now done. The fee was enacted for a specific purpose. The purpose is done, and so now the fee needs to be eliminated when and at its due time in July of 2008. Some legislators have suggested continuing the fee to use it for other purposes. I think that's an absolute mistake. It would not be keeping faith with the citizens who understood that the increase in the registration fees were for a short period of time to fund Jamestown activities. And so I'm strongly encouraging the legislature to repeal that fee. I spoke to the Speaker of the House this morning. He's also in support of repealing the fee, and so I'm very hopeful that they will do that.
Virginia Attorney General Bob McDonald joining us here on the New Dominion Show. One other question. I know you have to go quickly. This is the kind of thing that we always worry about when we see new taxes and new fees enacted. Is this just par for the course as far as government finding new ways to spend old money?
Well, probably the best example is the business and professional occupational licensing tax was put in place to fund the War of 1812. You may remember that war is over and we won, but the tax is still here. And so you're exactly right. Taxes seem to get easy to enact, but they don't go away very quickly. And this we don't want this to be another example. It's one with a specific purpose. The purpose is now successfully completed. The fee needs to be eliminated. And I think it does engender trust with the citizens if government keeps its word and if levies are put in place for a specific purpose, then when the purpose is done, the fees and taxes are eliminated. I think it's critical for trust and confidence in government that this fee be eliminated. And I'm optimistic that the legislature will do that. If they want to put fees in or taxes in for other purposes, then that legislation should be introduced separately and justified separately, not just having this continued for a different reason.
Bob McDonald, Virginia's Attorney General, thanks for your time as always.
Chris, good to be with you as always. Thank you very much.
Everything Virginia, the New Dominion, www.thenewdominion.com.
It's back, and it's like you've never seen it before. The January 2008 edition of the New Dominion magazine marks the debut of our new glossy full-color look. With a cover story breaking down the obscenity case in Stanton, a look inside economic trends in Waynesboro, interviews with TV and radio mainstays, a look at rural Virginia politics, and a few minutes in an MMA cage. And it's free. The New Dominion magazine is available at locations throughout the Valley in Central Virginia. To find out more, go to thenewdominion.com. Thenewdominion.com. Stop the presses. News from a different angle. Fridays at thenewdominion.com. Welcome back to the New Dominion Show. I'm Chris Graham. Our next segment focuses on Virginia as maybe being the mother of vice presidents. That name, mother of presidents, has been around the Commonwealth really since the inception of the American democracy. And it's been a while since, though, Virginia's had a president or even a major presidential contender. But this time around, 2008, a couple of names have come up as possibilities as vice presidential nominees on the Democratic Party side. Tim Kaine, the Virginia governor, has endorsed Barack Obama, very publicly supporting the Illinois senator. And that's led to some speculation that maybe Tim Kaine, with his early endorsement at this stage in the process, his name could come up on the short list eventually for vice presidential nominees if Barack Obama were to get the nomination. Also a name coming up, Virginia Senator Jim Webb, who, like Tim Kaine, has given the Democratic response to President Bush's State of the Union address in the last couple of years. And, of course, he has that great military background. And he's being mentioned as a pretty serious contender if things work out a certain way. We talked with Stephen Farnsworth from the University of Mary Washington and also with Sean O'Brien from the University of Virginia to get their insight. Let's go first to Sean O'Brien and get his insight on the Virginia's role in the vice presidential sweepstakes. Yeah, what interests me about Tim Kaine, of course, also him mentioning Jim Webb's name as a possible VP contender, is that Tim Kaine's name itself has come up as a person who could be on a long list of possible vice presidential candidates on the Democratic side, just because we've seen him already. I think he delivered deliver one of the major Democratic speeches early in his term? I know Jim Webb's done the same thing.
He did, within days of being inaugurated. In fact, both of them,
yes,
delivered their rebuttals to the President's State of the Union, which for Virginians was exciting because that doesn't happen very often, that 2 years in a row people from the same state get to do that. And, of course, the Democrats in Virginia thought it was terribly exciting because they were trying to highlight the fact that this southern state was electing Democrats on the state level. So the Democrats were pretty excited about that. If you're going to be a Virginia booster like Tim Kaine is, and you've already put your support behind somebody who you think can be president, why not try and put your support behind somebody else who you think can be vice president? You know, we all like to think back to the early days when Virginia was the birthplace of presidents, and it hasn't happened in a long time. And there was a time when we thought there might be two or even three candidates running for president from Virginia, Gilmore, Allen, and Warner. Mm-hmm. And now we don't have any. And so, you know, if Jim Webb gets back in there and is a possible vice presidential candidate, that would be pretty exciting for people from Virginia. I'm not only hearing it from Tim Kaine's camp, I'm hearing it from other camps that he's a possibility. He's a Southern Democrat who has sort of moderate tendencies and is strong on military issues. That's the kind of thing that the Democratic Party loves to put into a vice president.
Talk with Sean O'Brien, the executive director of the Sorensen Institute of Political Leadership at the University of Virginia, here on the New Dominion Show. And it interests me that either of these two guys is in that position, given that Mark Warner played a key role in both their elections, and yet one of these two guys could very well be in that mix. Could Mark Warner, now this is an interesting question I have, and I've thought about this myself too. I know he's running for the Senate next year. Obviously, he's going to be focused on that a lot, but Joe Lieberman was able to pull off that double. He didn't win both, but in 2000 he ran for his re-election to the Senate and also on the vice presidential ticket. Is it possible that someone like Mark Warner could inject himself into that mix as well?
I think that the Democratic Party on the national level would not support that sort of a move, because right now they have a 51-49 majority in the Senate, and that's a very razor-thin margin, obviously, and a third of the senators are going to be elected or re-elected next fall. And if they think they can pick up a Republican seat with Mark Warner, he's going to be well rewarded in the Senate, and they're not going to want to jeopardize losing that seat that they feel very confident that they can win by allowing Mark Warner to step out, and then some Democrat who's not as well organized and not as well known has to step in and run against probably Jim Gilmore, the former governor, who is very well known and will be very well organized and is probably going to give Mark Warner himself a pretty good run for his money.
Uh-huh.
So I think the Democratic Party on the national level would strongly frown upon a candidate picking Mark Warner to be their vice presidential candidate, especially when they have other perfectly viable vice presidential candidates who fill some of the same bill that Mark Warner does.
Yes.
Not the exact same, of course, but similar.
So Jim Webb could be a good candidate. Mark Warner definitely out, it sounds like. Tim Kaine, now he's trying to deflect attention by talking about Jim Webb. But could Tim Kaine actually, he's a Southern governor, he's had a good run as governor himself on the heels of the successful Mark Warner years. He's known on the national stage a little bit from his speech rebutting the president's State of the Union address in 2006. So he's maybe playing coy right now, but could his name come up next summer?
That's really hard to know. I mean, from his perspective, boy, isn't it flattering to even be on the long list. That's a wonderful place to be in your life and in your political career. It would be challenging to leave the governorship before it's done and do that. I remember a long time ago, one of the big digs against Doug Wilder was that he started running for president before he was done being governor, and you only get one term to be governor of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we sort of have this tradition in Virginia where we really like our governors to do their term because they only get one, and then maybe they can move on to.
You hear there from Sean O'Brien from the Sorensen Institute at the University of Virginia about Tim Kaine and Jim Webb and possibilities that they might be players in that vice presidential sweepstakes on the Democratic Party side. Now let's go to Stephen Farnsworth from the University of Mary Washington and get his insight on Jim Webb and also on Tim Kaine.
I think that there are qualities that any one of the leading candidates for the nominee on the Democratic side are going to want in a vice presidential candidate. And Jim Webb fits some of those qualities. The first thing to remember is that Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards, the top three Democrats, none of them have military experience. And so I think that what is going to be really, really key, if one of those three is the nominee, and the odds of that are very high, if one of those three is the nominee, they're going to want someone with a military background to be the vice presidential nominee, to be their running mate. Now, if it's Hillary Clinton, I suspect that probably it'll be a movement towards someone like Wesley Clark, who is a former four-star general. He ran in 2004, but got in late enough that he never really took off as a candidate. He did win one primary in 2004, but ultimately John Kerry had a pretty easy run of it. So Wesley Clark has endorsed Hillary Clinton. Wesley Clark's from Arkansas. I think that he would be the more appealing military choice for Hillary Clinton if she's the nominee. If one of the other candidates, Obama or Edwards, is the nominee, then I think someone like Jim Webb makes a lot of sense, because in having a running mate who endorsed another candidate is not a particularly appealing way to go. But they're still going to want the military expertise, the military background, the military credibility in their running mate.
Talking with Steve Farnsworth from the University of Mary Washington here on the New Dominion Show. Now, so I allowed Tim Kaine to deflect that by asking you a question about Jim Webb. But let's go back to Tim Kaine. Could he be a player in his sweepstakes as well? He's got something of a national profile. He delivered the response to the State of the Union address in 2006, so that might have raised his profile a bit. And, of course, he's the Democratic governor in a southern state that is increasingly leaning a little bit more Democratic. Could he be someone who could be in this mix?
I think what's more likely for Tim Kaine is probably a cabinet position or something like that if the Democrats win in 2008. Normally, Virginia governors, because they only serve 1 4-year term, are expected to serve that entire 4-year term. This is, of course, particularly an issue for a Democratic governor who, next in line, has a Republican lieutenant governor. And so my expectation would be that Kaine would serve out the term. But once he becomes available, once his term expires, I think then you're looking at a situation where Tim Kaine would be a very appealing person for a Democratic president to put in a cabinet if, in fact, the Democrats win in 08.
So, Virginia, mother of vice presidents, hey, it's possible. It's out there, at least, that Tim Kaine and certainly Jim Webb are going to be players to be reckoned with, forces to be reckoned with in the months to come. Coming right up here on the New Dominion Show, we'll be talking with Lee Chapman, talking about Barack Obama and his appearance in South Carolina with Oprah Winfrey. Lee was there to cover it in person, and we'll get his insight next on the New Dominion Show. Stop the presses. News from a different angle. Fridays at thenewdominion.com. Back by popular demand. Well, sorta, kinda. Stop the Presses will change your life. And it's actually a collection of humor columns by author Chris Graham. That's me. I had a hard time narrowing them down, so you get 98 of them. And every one of them can be read while you're taking care of business. More information at authorchrisgraham.com. That's authorchrisgraham.com.
Links to blogs from across the Commonwealth. The place to go to see what people are saying. The New Dominion, www.thenewdominion.com.
Joining us now on the New Dominion Show is Lee Chapman. And Lee is a political correspondent for the New Dominion, I guess we can say. He joined the team here recently. And what a first event to go cover, Lee. You're out there at the big Obama-Oprah rally in South Carolina. Tell us a little bit about this. It was something to do for your first event, but this might have been the political event of the season so far.
Well, it certainly was in this state. My interest was piqued when I heard that they were going to move it to the football stadium and out of the Colonial Center, which is the basketball arena at the University of South Carolina. Holds about 18,000, and within 2 days of handing out the free tickets to the event, the organizers saw that they were going to need many more seats to accommodate everybody that wanted to come. You throw in Oprah on a 78-degree day and you end up with around 30,000 people, and I've gone to a lot of football games in that stadium, and I would say that that count of the attendance is fairly accurate.
Lee Chapman joining us here. He was at the Oprah Obama rally in South Carolina over the weekend, and want to get a sense. You know, there's this feeling. Of course, you know, Oprah sells books. She's got she's Oprah in general with her magic touch and so many things. Maybe her first foray into politics here. We've known for a few months that she's backing Obama in this race, but what was it like being there? You know, seeing her in person. Do you think she could be a player in her endorsement of Obama?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, but you would think that at least maybe 50% or more of the crowd might not have come if she was not on the docket. And, you know, the key thing is going to be if she continues to stump with him, especially in the southern states, and helps draw these kinds of crowds, I think it gives him a decided advantage. Hillary Clinton seems to be following the old staple that Democrats have followed for decades now, and that is giving a lot of speeches in African-American churches, you know, around the state, and kind of going through the clergy and that route to shore up the black vote. And this is kind of a new approach that's been afforded Obama because of Oprah's willingness to go out and support him. The key thing, of course, is he has to take advantage of that. And when he gets up to speak, he has to make sure that he's the best and that Oprah doesn't overshadow him.
Yeah, and in your column, which I'll note is on the newdominion.com website, A Sunny Afternoon at the Double O Ranch, you wondered aloud whether or not he stepped up to the plate, at least in his first respect.
You know, he's not a dull speaker in that he's soft and monotone, but he does he doesn't paint pictures very well when he speaks like someone like Bill Clinton or a Jesse Jackson. And I think he needs to take it up a notch, keep the energy and the enthusiasm as he speaks. But he
Chapman, a political correspondent for the New Dominion, joining us here on the New Dominion Show. And we're talking about the Oprah Obama rally in South Carolina over the weekend that certainly got a lot of airplay and a lot of attention in the media in the last few days. And one thing you noted in this, in your column, again, a sunny afternoon at the 00 Ranch, which is on the newdominion.com, you noted just how interesting it was that we have Oprah Winfrey and Barack Obama headlining a political rally in the old Confederate South, and just how a couple of generations ago we couldn't have ever thought of something like this taking place. But that the African-American vote in South Carolina, for people who don't know the state very well, is a very important part of a Democratic primary vote.
Well, they make up roughly 50%. And of that 50%, approximately 60% are women. So, you know, it's just hard to determine that event is, you know, it was exciting and high energy and loud as everything was. How much of it is going to carry over to the polls? Were people more impressed with Oprah, or did Obama, you know, capture their imagination or their attention with his time on the podium?
Talking with Lee Chapman here on the New Dominion Show, and so South Carolina is a battleground. Let's talk more generally about this. You're right there in the crosshairs. A lot of the candidates will be coming down your way in the weeks between now and the primary. So are you getting that sense there in South Carolina? See, here in Virginia, we're sort of an afterthought. We always have been on the primary schedule. I want to get a feel for just what it's like to be there and the kind of interactions you might be able to have with either directly with candidates or certainly just in the campaign in general.
Well, I live in the northwestern corner of the state up near Anderson, South Carolina, and we've seen a good bit of John McCain, Mitt Romney a couple of times, and as of late we've been see a little more Fred Thompson. Really haven't seen anything of Mike Huckabee yet, but you know, Fred Thompson, he seems to be, you know, at least early indications are, you know, he stopped by a restaurant in Anderson, a blue plate, popular blue plate restaurant called Mama Pen's. You know, everybody comes around and says, "Ah, he's so down to earth, he's so easy to relate to." And then McCain, he's been not only hitting places like those, he's been giving speeches at Clemson University, and he's talked a little bit more about energy policy than some of the other candidates. He's brought up nuclear power and how he thinks that's a central direction that the country needs to go if it wants energy independence. And he spoke up at the nuclear power plant up in on Lake Kiwi, which is in the northern corner of the state, real beautiful place. Jack Nicklaus built golf courses up in that area, and you know, he's pushed that a little more than you've heard from other candidates. So we've seen more of McCain probably than anybody. But the polls seem to indicate that Huckabee has kind of shifted into high gear in this state. So the publicity he's getting in Iowa clearly is helping him in South Carolina as well, because we haven't even seen that much of him in the state. And he already seems to have moved into the lead if the polls are correct.
That's interesting. And that's the Huckabee phenomenon right now is interesting in and of itself. A few months ago, the Speaker of the House delegates in Virginia jumped on his team, and I remember making a comment actually in print saying that he was risking making himself irrelevant, and maybe he was just ahead of the curve here. But Lee Chapman, we'll look for your dispatches regularly on thenewdominion.com. Thanks for your time today, and we'll be looking for you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Links to blogs from across the Commonwealth, the place to go to see what people are saying. The New Dominion, www.thenewdominion.com.
University of Virginia basketball has moved across the street, but U-Haul lore lives on. Mad About You, 4 decades of basketball at University Hall, an inside look at UVA basketball. More information at madaboutyou.net. Madaboutyou.net. Get your copy today.
The New Dominion Magazine, available in print in the Valley and Central Virginia. Find out more at thenewdominion.com. Joining me now on the New Dominion Show is Keenan Caldwell from the American Cancer Society. We're going to talk about the legislation in Congress that would do something that I had assumed before this, Keenan, that was already in place, but it would give the power to the FDA to regulate tobacco companies in the smoking industry. I'm just that boggles my mind that these products are out there and haven't been regulated by the FDA.
It certainly does to us as well. There's so many other products that people ingest. Even dog food, actually, Chris, is regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. So certainly something as harmful as tobacco should be regulated, and that's what the Senate bill and House bill and Congress right now would give the FDA authority over tobacco products.
Yeah, that's interesting. We're talking with Keenan Caldwell here on the New Dominion Show, talking about that legislation and a report released, I believe it was last week, that would give us some statistics on what it would mean to Virginia specifically and other states as well as to if this regulation was passed and given to the FDA. And we're talking about over 59,000 young people in Virginia would not smoke. Another number that was surprising, 21% of Virginia high school students smoke. Over $2 billion a year in health care costs associated with smoking in Virginia. And these numbers just boggle the mind.
Yeah, they certainly do. And when we talk about the health savings and you talk about the $1 billion that Virginia could save if we could curtail youth smoking, and that's what this really gets to, is that this FDA bill granting authority over tobacco products would really crack down on the marketing and sale to kids. And if we can stop kids from smoking now, that's where you get that number of, you have 59,000 kids in Virginia who would not become regular smokers and contribute to the high Medicaid costs that's associated with smoking each year. As you said, the number is staggering, $1 billion each year. That we could save, that this report has found out, and certainly something like that should speak to all Virginians and saying we need to grant FDA authority and we need to do something about this problem right now.
Talking with Keenan Caldwell, the Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society, here on the New Dominion Show. And now the legislation has significant support really in both houses of Congress. Over 211 co-sponsors in the House, 55 in the Senate, but it's stalling through the process. I guess the Senate committee's pushed it out, but we're still seeing it get bogged down there. And some significant players in Virginia have not signed on to this legislation yet.
Yeah, they haven't, and that's what, you know, one of the reasons that this report speaks to Virginians is that we really have a chance to show our congressional leaders and to give our opinion to them to say this is something that needs to be done. We want to save Virginia youth from tobacco products, and we understand that there is a rich tradition and rich history of tobacco in this state, but now's the time for all Virginians to step up and talk to their congressmen and say this is something that we need to do. We're spending a lot of money. The financial burden on the healthcare system in Virginia is devastating. And if you can get this to gain some more momentum and support this issue for our Virginia congressmen, it certainly is something that we'd like to see all Virginians do. The bill is supported and sponsored by a Virginian, Tom Davis, in the Northern Virginia area, but we really want to get all Virginians, all of our senators, congressmen, to support this effort and support our children.
Yeah, Senators Warner and Webb not signing on yet as co-sponsors, and it's interesting, looking at this legislation, of course you mentioned it would give the FDA authority to crack down on tobacco marketing and sales to kids, and also would prevent tobacco companies from misleading the public about the health risk of their products. And this is something I think, again, would surprise people that the FDA doesn't have this authority, especially considering the famous tobacco lawsuits of the 1990s. I think a lot of people would assume that the risk is out there and known, but on the other hand, if for their marketing purposes, they're out there continuing to kind of keep us in the dark about some of these things, it's probably helping keep in sales going and the appeal for youth to want to get into smoking.
Yeah, certainly. And Chris, the number across the board, and even in Virginia, is about 85% of regular daily smokers started before they were 18. And so what we're trying to do is trying to get to kids now, youth, trying to speak to them now and let them know about the dangers of tobacco products. And this bill would grant that kind of authority that would really, really ratchet up our efforts to prevent them from starting to try the products, because that's where we really need to get to them. And if we can do that, then that's where you see these huge, significant savings down the road. You see the numbers of youth declining in smoking and initiating to use the tobacco products. And if we can do that, then we're making headway here in Virginia.
Well, Keenan, thank you for your time. We'll have a link on our website to the American Cancer Society's website. I want to thank you for your time.
All right, thank you very much.
The New Dominion Magazine, available in print in the Valley and Central Virginia. Find out more at thenewdominion.com. It's back, and it's like you've never seen it before. The January 2008 edition of the New Dominion magazine marks the debut of our new glossy full-color look. With a cover story breaking down the obscenity case in Stanton, a look inside economic trends in Waynesboro, interviews with TV and radio mainstays, a look at rural Virginia politics, and a few minutes in an MMA cage. And it's free. The New Dominion magazine is available at locations throughout the Valley in Central Virginia. To find out more, go to thenewdominion.com. Thenewdominion.com.
Everything Virginia, the New Dominion, www.thenewdominion.com.
I want to thank all of our guests once again, Bob McDonald, the Virginia Attorney General, Keenan Caldwell from the American Cancer Society, Stephen Farnsworth from the University of Mary Washington, Sean O'Brien from the University of Virginia, and Lee Chapman, New Dominion correspondent and South Carolina resident. I want to thank them for all their time this week. We'll be back once again next week, and until then, let's talk again soon.
The New Dominion is a production of Augusta Free Press, all rights reserved. For more on the New Dominion, visit our website at thenewdominion.com and look for the New Dominion magazine at a bookstore near you. The New Dominion, everything Virginia.
Want a hard copy of this week's show? CDs are available for $9.99. Email us at augfreepress@comcast.net to order yours. That's augfreepress@comcast.net.